Good morning, everyone. My name is Mari Hickman. Welcome and thank you for joining. We're excited to have such a large group on the phone, and it looks like we have a good group across a lot of different types of stakeholders, and we're so excited to have you on the call today. Today we're going to present information about social service systems. We'll go into a little bit about what social service systems, what that term means, and then we'll talk about how the system can be monitored and evaluated. First, I wanted to say that this activity is led by a PEPFAR-supported project called Measure Evaluation, which is a consortium of six organizations led by the University of North Carolina. I'm an M&E advisor at Futures Group International, and I am OVC M&E technical advisor for Measure Evaluation, with experience working with livelihoods and OVC-related programs in Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa. And I'm also joined today as a presenter by Kelly McCreary-Bunkers, who's a child protection expert with more than 20 years of professional experience in Eastern Europe, Latin America, and Eastern Africa. First, Kelly and I will be making a 20 to 30 minute presentation, and then we will open any remaining time to questions, comments, and discussion. You will see that we do have specific questions that we'd like to ask towards the end of the webinar. But like Gretchen said, if there are urgent questions during our presentation, please feel free to type them into the chat box. Is everyone able to hear me okay? It looks like it might be a little quiet on the phone or on the... Okay, I'm going to go ahead unless I hear otherwise. It seems like the sound might be okay. I'll move my microphone a little closer.
Mari, I can hear you fine. Okay. You're just a tad quiet, so I think you're right. If you move your microphone, it'll probably be perfect.
Okay, I will speak a little louder, too, and hopefully that will help. Okay. Measure Evaluation is supporting PEPFAR in the efforts to develop an M&E framework for the social service system. We have recently initiated this work, and our first phase includes a thorough literature review of peer-reviewed and non-peer-reviewed documentation. We have gathered literature from the child protection and social protection arenas, as well as examples from the U.S. child welfare system and system strengthening efforts in Eastern Europe. At the end of this review of all of this information, we're hoping to get a core set of indicators that will be presented for discussion on M&E around social service system strengthening. The next phase of our work will include finalization of this M&E framework, as well as a handbook to support design and implementation of the framework in different countries where PEPFAR and their partners are engaged in system strengthening work. We are trying right now to gather as much information as possible related to existing M&E frameworks, related indicators, and promising practices. We also recognize that there might be gaps and want to highlight these when they occur. This webinar is the first step in a longer process. Our goal today is to share our objectives and progress to date with you, and we are excited about learning from your experience and hope to gather as much existing information as possible. We envision hosting more webinars throughout the process to ensure active participation and engagement of key stakeholders, which will include a presentation of what those core indicator recommendations are, where gaps exist, and then our final results towards the end. While we will get into the details pertaining to M&E of social service systems today in this webinar, we first want to take a quick step back to set the stage in the broader context of what a social system is and how it may function.
In recent years, progress has been made in defining, designing, and implementing different system strengthening related interventions. There has been a growing focus on and recognition of systems within the health, child protection, and social
In recent years, progress has been made in defining and implementing different system strengthening. Let's see, let's get the, here we go. Can everyone see this? Okay. In recent years, progress has been made in defining, designing, and implementing different system strengthening related interventions. There has been a growing focus. Systems, especially those with a child focus, have not always been universally strengthened. Rather, focus has been placed on certain components of the larger system, for example, information management systems or the workforce. Furthermore, current system strengthening interventions are not always coordinated and clearly defined, nor are they necessarily sustainable. In part, due to the benefits of many years of health system strengthening, many child protection and/or OVC-related interventions now prioritize attention to social service system strengthening and the support that is being provided to countries. To clarify, as we move through this presentation, the new PEPFAR guidance for OVC refers to this as a social service system. There are several definitions that you might also have heard that have been utilized to describe a similar system that includes, for example, a social welfare system or a social development system. The term social service system that is utilized by PEPFAR, as will be presented in the next slide, has as an overarching goal ensuring the welfare and protection of vulnerable children and other populations. Okay. The new PEPFAR guidance for OVC defines the social service system as a combination of both social protection or welfare and child protection systems. As illustrated in the slide, the social service system that is envisaged has as its primary purpose to ensure the welfare and protection of children and other vulnerable populations. This system includes components that aim to reduce poverty and vulnerability, and at the same time, those that protect children from abuse, neglect, and exploitation. There are six main components that make up a system, and all of these components must work together to enhance the effectiveness of the larger system. These six components reflect much of what the health system has developed in terms of their generic building blocks of the health system. These elements are also similar to core system components identified in much of the child protection systems literature. The six components are linked, multidimensional, and adaptable, but all are necessary for the larger system to function and to function effectively. Identifying these six elements of the social service system is an important part of the process that should result in targeted and informed interventions, strategies, and investments.
To illustrate the system we're talking about, we want to walk through two brief examples of a functional system. These are merely illustrations, and we recognize that intervention strategies, response mechanisms, and actors in this system vary from country to country. But our hope is that these illustrations get us thinking about how systems should work and how we can assess functionality and breakdowns within the system. So in our first example, if you will take a minute and imagine with us, that a child is identified as malnourished and presents signs of stunting. The child's entry point into the system is through the health extension worker, who refers the child or caregiver to a local health clinic where they qualify for free treatment. At the same time, the family also receives a voucher for access to receive food from a local community food bank. The health extension worker continues to monitor this household. In doing so, they determine the family could benefit from additional services. They refer a social welfare officer to the household, and the family is referred to local parenting classes, as well as the office that oversees cash transfers. Over time, household well-being improves, and the child is back at a healthy weight. This family is able to provide for their children with the support from various programs.
In the second case, a neighbor suspects that the child next door is being abused. She reports it to the local authorities. The local authorities document the concern and identify a social worker to make a home visit. The social worker goes to the home, meets with the mother and the child, and completes an assessment of the child and family situation. The social worker does not detect abuse, rather identifies that the single mother is overwhelmed, unemployed, and in need of support. A case plan is developed together with the parent and child. It is clear that the mother needs assistance to get back on her feet and to be able to provide for her child. Options are explored within the extended family for some temporary care of the child. No extended family members are willing or able to care for the child, so a caregiver from the community is identified. The care situation is approved by local authorities based on a best interest determination. In the interim, the mother attends a parenting class and is accepted by a local NGO to participate in an IGA scheme. Eventually, the child is reintegrated in the family, and the social worker monitors the case until it is determined that the child's safety and well-being are secured.
Using these two example scenarios, we can begin to identify system breakdowns, aka look at why the system may not be able to adequately support the child and household. While there are many breakdowns that might occur to the system, following the six components that we described earlier, I will highlight three challenges that might occur with the first case that prevent the system from being able to support the child and family. First, coordination between the health extension workers and social welfare officers may not occur or be as functional as is required to effectively integrate social services within health services. Second, the existing workforce may not be able to handle all cases in a community and are overburdened, or we may find that capacity of the existing workforce is less than ideal to be able to properly assess, counsel, refer, and monitor a child and household. Finally, financing for cash transfers, vouchers, and subsidies may be insufficient to support those in need, and as a result, families cannot access key services or are put on a wait list before they are able to receive the benefit of those services.
In the second case, again, there could be many breakdowns that occur within the system. Some examples of challenges that might occur in this specific case include local government authorities that are mandated with child protection might not be present at the community or town level, reflecting a challenge with leadership and governance component of the system. Similarly, data collection systems around children placed in temporary care, either with extended family, community members, or foster care, might not be collected. And in some cases, alternative family-based care options might not even exist. Finally, service delivery mechanisms and tools used to ensure participation of the family and the child in decisions that are made, and the ability to make an informed decision regarding best interest determination might not be defined, practiced, or even required.
So how do we know the strength of this system that we're talking about? The mounting attention of social service system strengthening has become kind of the wave of the future and welcomed by stakeholders around the globe. Yet these initiatives will not be sustainable without a monitoring strategy that enables decision makers to assess the existing system, monitor improvements, and advocate for targeted system strengthening needs. The M&E framework should include indicators to monitor core components of the system and provide information on where the system may need improvement. This might include looking at different types of indicators for each component, including input, output, process, and outcome indicators. As described earlier, here are the six main components of the system that again reflect the health system strengthening building blocks as well as relate to core system components identified in child protection systems literature. For each of the six components, we will provide a brief description next, as well as some of our thinking, our current thinking, and examples of some indicators. These are not meant to be final indicators, nor are we suggesting that these are a comprehensive set of indicators for each of these components, But more so, the idea is to give us a picture of what we're looking at and points for discussion of this, the M&E of this system.
So the first component that we'll explore is that of leadership and government. This component would include governments that have clear mandates, visions, and strategies in place, a government system that has organizational structures at all levels, clear understanding of roles and responsibilities of all the key actors involved, and effective lines of communication between and across the different departments and sectors that are involved in the social service system. Examples of possible indicators for this component might include a national strategy for addressing child vulnerability is developed and approved, or Ministry X, such as the Ministry of Social Welfare, the Ministry of Women, Children, and Youth Affairs, has approved and updated job descriptions for all key staff involved in the social service system. The second component is a well-performing workforce. This component addresses the human resources needed to make a system function effectively. In this component, we would consider human resource data and staffing plans, capacity building and training opportunities for key staff, and the presence of occupational standards and codes of conduct for the workforce. Examples of possible indicators for this component would include national human resource assessments or mappings have been completed, that clear titles, competencies, and functions are defined for the different cadres or groups of the workforce, and the number of social service workers per 10,000 population. The third component of the social service system relates to adequate financing, and this includes information regarding the costs and benefits of specific services, national budget allocation, financial management systems that are functioning in place and able to collect information that helps inform decisions and policy. And examples of possible indicators in this component include looking at the percentage of total national and local government spending allocated to social services for children. Another example might be a recognized cost per service. For example, what is the cost of caring for a child in temporary care?
Component four is information management and accountability. This component includes strong systems for generating accurate social service data. It also includes the coordination across relevant national stakeholders to share and use information for planning purposes. Data should be of good quality, relevant, and accessible by appropriate stakeholders to inform policy and program decision making. In strengthening this component of the system, interventions may include developing national M&E plans, national databases, data quality standards, etc. It may also include supporting governments to set realistic performance expectations, and facilitating review of key information across stakeholders is also critical in the data use process. Example possible indicators would include clear monitoring and evaluation functions of key staff involved in child protection at the national level, and data utilized to develop certain targeted laws, policies, and strategies. Component five pertains to the coordination and networking that needs to occur across ministries and other stakeholders for the system to function. This includes national-level coordination structures with clear roles and responsibilities. Some key aspects of this component are understanding all the related stakeholders, how they should work together, and formalizing these relationships. This component may consider interventions to support national and subnational working groups, task force, or committees. Examples of possible indicators include terms of reference for national technical working groups developed and approved, or number of actors engaged in system disaggregated by type or function of service offered and the location. Component 6 includes having a service delivery strategy and then corresponding delivery mechanisms. This may include national quality service standards and clear case management practices. Examples of possible indicators include the quality service standards exist and perhaps are implemented, case review system is in place at all levels, and data on the number of children outside of parental care as a way to monitor if children are receiving services. So we've gone over each of the 6 components and wanted to take a few more minutes to talk about what we see the function of this M&E framework is and a little bit of what we don't think it will be, and then we'll have some questions to go into. But our intention is to develop an M&E framework that can monitor the strength of a country's social service system. Collection and use of such data will provide information for country decision makers to inform program and policy development. This framework is also intended to provide a foundation for global monitoring of social service system strengthening efforts.
We also know what this M&E framework is not. And we hope that through this process, we will be able to develop an M&E framework for the larger social service system. This framework should not be considered as a tool to evaluate or assess a specific intervention of a specific project. What we hope it will be able to do eventually is to help guide and inform the development of M&E frameworks, indicators, and data collection methods for all key stakeholders, government, NGOs, and CBOs involved in this important work, so that the data flows and from and is reflected of the many different stakeholders involved in the social service system and their different interventions. Similarly, it's not meant to provide qualitative indicators, which are recommended to complement the quantitative. And what we know, or would like to think we know, in initiating this work, there are several things we knew when we started, and there are also things that we have learned during the first stages of this process. What we do know is that there is significant, albeit nascent, work being done on systems within the child protection and social protection arenas. We are reviewing this impressive work and are utilizing indicators and promising practices where those are available. Similarly, we're also looking at relevant examples within the U.S. child welfare system and looking to that model for possible indicators and guidance. The extensive work on system strengthening child protection systems in Eastern Europe over the past 2 decades is also providing some examples of what we might include in this new framework. But we also recognize that although there are important lessons to be learned, that it is not a cut and paste situation, that Eastern Europe, that the US are very different from the systems and the countries and contexts that we're currently working within. So with all of these, we're very aware that the indicators that we gather from child protection and social protection systems from the US and Eastern European experience will need to be contextualized. And finally, we also have applicable and relevant lessons learned from the health system strengthening efforts. But we also recognize that health does not equal child social services.
So this is, in our next phase, what we presented where we're currently at, and we are presenting to let everyone know and disseminate what our current objectives are of this activity and to engage in a participatory process throughout. But we're also looking for your reactions and feedback. With that being said, we have some targeted questions here on the screen, but we will just spend a few minutes and open it up for the next maybe 10 minutes or so, or if there's less, that's fine too, time that's needed, but for your overall reactions and feedback, and then we'll go into these targeted questions. I did want to mention before, if people have to drop off a little bit early, I just wanted to jump to the next slide. Here again are a reminder of a few ways you can join the conversation now. So you can raise your hand to speak and we can pass the microphone to you and you can speak if you've tested your microphone and it's working okay. Otherwise, you can type your comments and questions into the chat box. As well, we have this link here, which is on childstatus.net, where you can read a summary of the activity and then the targeted questions are available there and you can post responses, questions, comments, and of course, email. And those are our email addresses if you want to take a minute to jot those down and contact us at any time. So that being said, if you have any comments or questions in general, if you want to start typing those in or raise your hand, we will call on you and start taking a few of those questions now.
Okay, great. It looks like we have a question. Griffin is moving things around for us to the question and answer pod so that it's easier for me to answer questions. So the first question comes from Miner. How can we ensure equity in this system? What indicators measure equitable?
I think that equity is definitely a cross-cutting issue that we're looking across the six components of the social service system. And so we will be taking into account in terms of a gender perspective, are there equitable access to services for girls as well as boys, rural versus urban, et cetera. That is definitely on our agenda and will be prioritized in the collection and review of existing M&E frameworks. I think it's also important to note that this whole movement towards equity is very nascent, and so we are also looking for as much information as we can find around this to help inform the indicators that we develop.
Great. Mari, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that's good for now, and we can take the next question.
Okay, great. The next question comes from Sarah Lilly. Thanks for the interesting presentation. I'm wondering how this work and the tool being developed may draw on or link with the tools that have been developed for mapping child
Thank you, Sarah. That's a great question. And you are absolutely correct. And as you probably noted, in some of the examples that we gave, we referenced some of the toolkits and mapping exercises that have been done by Maestral, Child Frontiers. I know that Save the Children has been very active in this. And so we are definitely looking towards the tools that have been developed and the indicators that already exist to help inform a great part of this. And one of the recommendations will most likely be that there, the one of the indicators would be the country has completed a child protection mapping assessment. And so we are definitely looking towards the experience of our colleagues in child protection to see where we can glean some of the indicators that they have already gathered. And as mentioned above, because the social service system includes both child protection as well as what we typically refer to as the social protection sphere, it will be very important that we build upon what already exists.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. I'm not seeing any other questions. Does anyone have any other questions they'd like to pose to the presenters?
So there's another question that's come in and asking if UNICEF is an active participant in this development. And yes, very much so. We've been working with and so far collaborating with quite a good group from UNICEF, both in the US and some people as well that work for UNICEF in the field. And we want to continue to engage with them. If you have any specific individuals that you think, or even maybe a field office that has done any work in regards to this topic, we would definitely be interested to know if you have a specific recommendation. And then there is... another question on... is there any examples of good coordination between ministries sharing information on social services? We are struggling with this in Tanzania. That's a great question. Right now we've looked and have started to look more at some of the coordination that's going on in certain countries. It certainly is working better in some countries more than others, and we're pulling in examples of what the components of that being more functional might be. But we're hoping to include some of that in our indicator development for the coordination piece. I would say there are best practices and in that field, and we're hoping that is reflected in our...
Great, thanks, Mari. We have another question from Megan. It seemed all the indicators were on the formal system. As you go about mapping exercises, do these include informal community-based systems? What indicators may be developed for the informal system?
That's a great question, Megan, the magic question. We for today's webinar, we primarily focused on the macro level or government formal level. That's where we're starting right now. But as we mentioned, we're beginning with the monitoring and evaluation framework at that level with the assumption and with the recognition that civil society and communities are also major stakeholders in this, and that the formal and informal are both part of the larger system. So the idea would be eventually to utilize the larger framework or the macro to then determine and identify key indicators that could be utilized by civil society and by communities and then help hopefully flow into the larger M&E framework. And Rebecca from Save the Children, you asked if there will be any focus on documentation from child welfare systems such as the UK and Scandinavia. And that's an excellent question, and one of the reasons we had the webinar today is because we continue to look for documentation and suggested examples or indicators. So if you know of any from your experience in the UK and Scandinavia, please do share them with us.
This is Mari again. We have a few more questions here that are coming in, and we want to be sure to get to those. And then we will, I'd like to save a few minutes to jump to our three questions that we've put on the screen before. So we'll take the remaining questions.
So the next question says, are you looking at gender equity in OVC programs?
Gender is cross-cutting.
Yeah, we are. It's cross-cutting across a lot of this, and one of the ways in which we traditionally do that, and one of the most basic forms, is in the indicators are developed. We have guidance on the standardization of disaggregation by gender and certain age groups so that we can look at gender across certain demographic characteristics, and we definitely will consider that in the indicators that are developed and ensure that gender is incorporated into the M&E part of this.
Great. We have another question. It says, what...
That's a great question, Sarah. Yes, to answer your question, we envision that governments will have responsibility, and that's part of the main idea behind a systems approach, is ensuring that there is ownership by government, that these different components are sustained and supported within government. And so it is our hope that it won't just be an M&E framework for PEPFAR or PEPFAR partners, but the governments in the countries where PEPFAR is active will also be on board with this and take them on as part of the M&E system that they use.
Great, thank you. Our next question comes from PEPFAR Cote d'Ivoire. It says, in Cote d'Ivoire, we are in the process to define harmonized assessment tools for social centers and also developing indicators to measure social sector strengthening. PEPFAR, CDC USAID, and the National OVC Program with IP.
Well, that's great to know. Thank you for sharing that. We would like to learn from you as well, I think. I mean, it would be great to learn more about where you are in this process and certainly perhaps simultaneously share where we're at and work with you on that. We can reach out to you maybe.
It's very exciting, and that's one of the things that we had hoped would come out of this webinar, is identifying where there are some promising practices already happening at the country level. So thank you, Cote d'Ivoire, and if any of you have other suggestions or examples to share with us, please do.
Okay, great. Looks like we have two more questions. Kimberly Haynes writes, as the issue of child protection framework for UNHCR has recently been developed.
Kimberly, yes, it is one of the documents that we have reviewed, and I think that we have a lot to learn in terms of UNHCR and the work that they have done around child protection, specifically looking at in emergency situations. So yes, we are trying to gather as much information from existing documents and tools as possible, and the child protection framework for UNHCR is definitely one of those.
Okay, great. Looks like our last question comes from Maxwell. Is UNAIDS involved?
Can I, want me to answer? Maxwell, I think in terms of looking at UNAIDS, they're not directly involved in this, but we are definitely looking at resources that have been developed with a particular focus on child protection and HIV and AIDS and the intersection or the interface between those two. I know that there has been recent work in looking at how in the past perhaps HIV and AIDS and child protection worked in silos and growing recognition that they need to be more engaged, that child protection systems need to be HIV sensitive, and that HIV also needs to address child protection issues and the increased vulnerabilities of children to protection abuses when they are also affected by HIV and AIDS. So I think that there is definitely a prominence of a lot of the documentation that UNAIDS has been producing of late.
I wanted just to go back briefly to Rebecca Smith from Save the Children, who said you may want to look at a document, I'm assuming, calling Understanding Children and Family Welfare, Statutory Response to Children at Risk. Thank you very much for that. We will certainly add it to our list of documents that we're reviewing if it's not already on there. So thank you for that contribution. I would like to maybe just go back. I know a lot of what people have been contributing are related to the three questions we posed. Okay, I'm not sure. It's a little small down there, so I will read the question. The first one is, are there examples of social welfare system assessments being done outside the U.S.? We've received a little bit of feedback on that, but if there's anyone who has any knowledge of any sort of social welfare system assessments being done in any of the countries that you're working in or with, and we would really love to hear more about that. So if you can type right now if you have any examples, otherwise we'll just go to the next question. Okay. The next question is, are there examples of ministries or governments that monitor or evaluate their social service system or any parts of their social service system? So this might be within the Ministry of Social Welfare or the Ministry of Education or the Ministry of Justice. We're wondering if any of you in the work that you do have had specific examples in with the ministries that you work with and looking at any of their indicators or their monitoring and evaluation of certain parts of the social service system. So again, we'll give this just 1 minute here if you want to type in, if you have any examples. We're very interested to take a look at country level examples if they exist. And that is one area right now that we have seen that we don't have a lot, as much information as we would like for, so wanted to ask all of you, since many of you work in the field. Okay. And it sounds like it's good that we're working on developing this M&E framework, and we hope that it will then help people develop some of these indicators within the ministries that you're all working with. But Our last question then was, do any of the programs that you work in or with use indicators that monitor any of the six components that we mentioned? Yes, thank you, Hannah, who says there is, like you already mentioned, the Côte d'Ivoire has tools for monitoring the social welfare centers. That's very helpful to know, and we will certainly be reaching out to you to see what some of those indicators are, and perhaps can set up a call with your group over there to learn more about what you're doing. We're very interested in that. Well, if anyone else is typing in right now, just while someone might be typing in, wanted to mention that there are a few links that we've provided under the online resources section. One of the links is to the PEPFAR OEC guidance, and I'm sure a lot of you have already seen it, but specifically this part of what we're doing with the social service system pertains to what starts on page 62 of that guidance. So we wanted to provide a link to that if you'd like to read more about it. And then the URL that I already provided is also in the online resources section, where you can click and go to the CSNET website, and there's a discussion forum there where you can read more about the work that we're doing. We'll be sure to post updates there. And you can also provide any comments or responses that you would like to online. I don't think that there were any other people that typed in yet in regards to those three questions besides the comment that we got, but we do have a few more minutes, so if there are any more general, broader comments or questions, we are happy to take those now. So if you want to type in anything that maybe isn't related as directly to the three questions that we posed, we do really appreciate everyone's feedback and interest in this topic. We're really excited about the work that we're doing, and we're excited to work with a broad group of stakeholders on this issue. So thank you all for logging in, but please feel free to email us or go on the website and contribute in any way. Otherwise, we are hoping to have another webinar in the future to present to you again our second phase of where we're at and more along the results of what we found.